record on this computer. All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to our January 2018 ERC group call. This is actually supposed to be our quarterly check-in call. I know everybody's at different places and started at different times, but I did get a whole bunch of your quarterly check-in reports today, mostly right out of the base. I haven't looked at all of them. I did look at Ruta's about that a couple of days ago.
Well, we're not hearing you very well.
You're not hearing me very well?
No, at least I'm not.
Is that true of everybody? Let me see if I
You're a little tiny bit fuzzy.
Yeah, fuzzy is a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's about, I mean, I can hear you. It's just there's like this zzz.
It's a resonating sound.
You know, yeah. I feel, it's almost like I hear somebody having a bird chirping in the background. So let me see. It says 5-1. Oh, that's okay. All right. Well, there's people who look like they're not video participants, but it's saying that they're talking. So let me, it might be that there's some interference. So give me a second to look at that. Let's see if those of you that are on. Let's see. Yeah, here's one. Okay, how's that? Is that better? Did the squeak go away? The squeak went away for me. Yeah? You hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound much better.
I sound better. Yeah. It was somebody fine. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, so welcome. I want to catch up with everybody. I want to see where you're at. I know some of you, you know, we all make great, grandiose quarterly goals, and we sometimes make it all the way, and sometimes we make it part of the way. But I really wanted to reinforce that so many times people measure themselves against, here's where I started, here's where I wanted to be, I got here. And you go, look at that, I stopped, look at that space, I didn't make it. As opposed to, wow, look how far I came. And we all have to learn to do that, whether it's in our health, whether it's in your, you know, relationship with your family members, your work at work. You know, we set these goals, and sometimes the goals are like pretty lofty, and life gets in the way and things happen, but we make it part of the way there. And that's what we all need to celebrate, because we all, you know, we're all high achievers. And I think why that's why a lot of people are here is because we've been pushing ourselves our whole lives through to be the best we can be, you know, make sure everything's perfect. And let's celebrate who we are, how far we've come, and where we still have to go. Because, hey, you know, when the journey ends, what happens then, right? We want to have places to keep going. We want to be able to have places to strive towards. And I congratulate all of you for where you've come and where you've been and where you're going and the fact that you're here. And you're all so dedicated to see that, because there are folks out there, like today's cardiologist probably sees every day, that they have no clue, right? They have no clue as to where to go and how to get there and what they should be doing on the way. So I think you guys just need to be applauded just because you've taken these steps. The story I wanted to share was I've been working with a guy who started a fast on New Year's Day. Guy was on two different blood pressure medications, insulin, metformin, cholesterol, a statin.
Oh, mm-hmm.
What was that?
You froze for a moment.
You froze for about 5 seconds.
Yeah. Okay. So working with this guy who started a fast at day one of the year, two different blood pressure medications, insulin and metformin, and I'm going to mute a couple of people because there's a couple of people who are playing with dishes or something. All right. Let's see if that works. If you're doing your dishes or you're banging stuff around, just mute yourself. Yeah, so cholesterol-lowering medication, some kind of statin, two blood pressure medications, metformin and insulin. And he's now on nothing, zero, zip nada. He was having his blood pressure, even on the blood pressure medications, were in the, you know, 150 over 90. I mean, he was still borderline even on the medications. His blood pressure is now, get this, 95 over 65, zero medication, okay? He's off insulin, and he's off metformin. His fasting blood sugar, 76, okay? he's like, I feel better today than I have. I mean, he hadn't eaten. Like, he's been on a fast for, today was 22 days, right? And he wrote in yesterday, I feel better than I've felt in years, right? We've been testing, sent him to his doctor to get his electrolytes tested. Some of the electrolytes were a little low. God, guess what? We put him on a little magnesium, a little bit of sodium, a little bit of potassium. Boom. You know, his clarity came up, right? The cardiologist is still like, this is stupid. You shouldn't be doing this. Like, really? I'm like functioning. Look at me. Look at my numbers. His pH is like 6.8. He's lost like 25 pounds. I mean, the guy's doing phenomenally, but his primary care is like, whoa, what are you doing here? Right? What is this? What? How's this happening? So I just want to put it out there that there's stuff to do. Now, I'm not a big fan of unsupervised fasting. The guy got down on his hands and knees and begged and pleaded, and he lives locally and promised he had to keep in touch with me every single day. I've been a little nervous about monitoring this, but, you know, it's working. So anybody, when something happens, like, you know, with Jay, and they're saying you have to be on this medication, would seriously consider that a therapeutic fast. I mean, if you can get off of work, I mean, he didn't have to work. He stayed at home. If you could do that and, you know, even go out to True North out in California or go someplace where you can be monitored, you could get your blood pressure down to normal and get everything stabilized pretty quickly, you know? And I just wanted to put it out there that don't lose hope and don't get discouraged by these bozos, I hate to say it, but these medically trained, well-trained guys that have closed minds and don't really get how the human body works. They go, you need this medication. Oh, yeah, just take stuff like it's candy just in case because it's like a vitamin. Who knows? And you don't really need magnesium, but take a statin. Right? So, like, use your sense, you know, combat, you know, bounce any of it off of me. I'll be happy to set up referrals and stuff. Like I said, I'm not doing this for everybody because it's a little scary. But, like I said, he begged, he pleaded, he promised. His wife is, I trust his wife. We're going to meet together with them on Saturday. We're going to plan out his reintroduction of food, which is supposed to happen, like, Sunday or Monday. And he's in good hands with her because she's been trained through all my classes, et cetera, over the years. So I just wanted to put it out there that our bodies are miraculous, right? We just have to get out of their way. The healing potential is phenomenal. We just have to get out of the way. And for everybody, it's a little different, but your healing potential is there. So I just wanted to share that story because I think it's real encouraging for me. So anyway, anybody else? Yeah.
That helps.
Good.
That helps, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of discouraging, you know, because I feel like I put in all this hard work, and where has it gotten me? And I know that I'm a lot better off than I would have been if I hadn't. So that's kind of what I keep reminding myself.
And there's certain things that had momentum, right?
I mean, I'm going to go back to what I was doing because I don't want to do that. But on the other hand, it is kind of discouraging that I've kind of gotten to this point where here I am taking medications that I thought I'd successfully avoided.
Yeah, and it's possible that you still could. It's just a matter of getting in with the right, you know, the right care that gets it, right? Because sometimes, you know, sometimes we got a runaway train. We can slow down our runaway train, but there's still, you know, this little impact that's happening. And, you know, you've come a long way. I mean, just the fact that your hemoglobin A1C is down dramatically, that has certainly helped the insides of your vessels heal, right? And so there's some other stuff that's going on that still needs to happen.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you can do this.
I mean, the thing with my eye was scary, and, you know, I didn't know if I was going to need to be in the hospital or something, so that's kind of what pushed me for being in the medical center and going with this guy. So once I get these ultrasounds back, then maybe that'll clear up anything having to do with that. He, you know, I've still been exercising. I don't have any other physical symptoms of any kind You know, no chest pain, no shortness of breath, no pain in the arm, no headaches, you know, things like that.
And in terms of your blood pressure, is it stabilized?
No, it was high in his office. I don't know why. I mean, diastolic was 90.
In his office?
He didn't tell me what the systolic was.
Are you testing it at home?
Yeah, I test it a lot now.
And is it normal or is it high too?
It starts off like 120, 110 in the morning. Then it may drift up to 135, 140. The highest in the last 2 weeks is 145 over like 85, 80. I bought a different brand of monitor and test them together, and they're within like 5 to 10 points, something like that.
I can use a one monitor,
wait 5 minutes, and I can end up with 10 points difference, which I think is just the body is just that way. Sometimes I'll test every 5 minutes, and I'll get almost identical within 1 point. Other times it'll be within 10 points.
Yeah.
The thing that lowers it the fastest, if it was like 140, I'll get up and do 15 minutes on my stepper, not super intensely, but pretty moderately, you know, with it. That'll drop at 10 points just like that. It's amazing what the exercise does.
It's amazing.
It'll last for at least an hour or two.
Mm-hmm. But so they say, you know, in terms of keeping blood pressure stable, exercising short bursts of time, multiple times throughout the day, as opposed to exercising for an hour or half an hour, you do 10 minutes every couple of hours because it will last, and then it will just keep the numbers.
Yes, this thing will cycle. It's a 15-minute program that you do 30 minutes sprinting, they call it, whatever intense, you know, the intense part, and then like 90 seconds recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then it starts over again.
Yeah. Well, good. I would keep it up. The other thing to test for is heart math. I've seen drops of 20 points just like that when people shift and go into the heart.
Yeah, I'm trying to use the Muse, the M-Wave 2. I can't get into that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work for me.
So when you say it doesn't work for you, do you mean you can't seem to get it to control?
So you're supposed to watch this blue light go back and forth, right?
Right.
You have to hold it down to do that. Then you have this clip on your ear, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, I don't know, it's like too much stuff to fool with.
You shouldn't have to do both, though, Jay. You only should have to do the one. I think the finger is in place of, so you either do the ear or you do the finger. It's reading your pulse.
Oh, okay.
So try doing this.
Well, I've had better success with the Muse.
Yeah. Well, whatever works. I mean, the whole point is to get yourself into symptoms.
I tried doing that when he's doing my blood pressure in the office there, but I don't know.
Have you brought your blood pressure meter into the office and tested it right before or after he tests?
No, not yet. I meant to take it today, and I totally forgot it.
Yeah.
So I'll do that.
That'd be a good thing to do, just to kind of measure it. Same thing, you know, when you want to test your blood sugar meter, you go and bring it in, and you test yours, and then you have them take it, and then you compare it. That way you know how it's going. Are you still using the Keto Mojo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, my blood sugar, my overnight fasting blood sugar is like, it's never over 100. Sometimes it's 85.
Great.
Between 85, 95, 95, 100, somewhere in there.
So you're definitely getting that under control.
If I eat a carb meal, something like something that has oatmeal in it, for example, it might go up 20 points, mm-hmm. and then it'll be back down again within an hour.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Okay.
That's what, yeah.
Great. All right. So... I'm here to support you however you want to be supported. I would love to have you share your next 90-day goal if you're open to doing that with the group, because I think that when we're, you know, when we become accountable and when we state it in public, we tend to be committed. we can also look at you and say, really? I think that's a little bit large. You know what I mean? We could tell if you're being overly ambitious, because sometimes we are like, oh yes, I'm going to move that tree trunk by the end of next week because I'm going to get that strong. And you're like, I don't think so. Right? So,
yeah, no, yeah, to consistently have blood pressure of, you know, systolic 120, mm-hmm, and diastolic 80.
Great.
Or better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
That's it. And, you know, blood sugar. Yeah. I want to continue. I'd like to get that overnight more consistently in the 85 to 90 range as opposed to the 95 to 100 range.
Great. Now, do you take any kind of blood sugar lowering supplements right before bed? Have you tried that? Like maitake, berberine, any of those?
Yeah, to take, well, berberine, yeah, during the day. I spread out like 500 milligrams of berberine.
So you take 500 total and you spread it out throughout the day?
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
How about you try this? Try this for a week or two and just see what it does to your fasting sugar. 500 at bedtime, in addition to whatever you're taking throughout the day.
Try what? I couldn't hear you.
500 berberine, 500 milligrams berberine at bedtime, in addition to whatever you're taking through the day. Most of the studies that hit it up against metformin are at 500 three times a day. That's the dose that's been utilized. So you could try that.
Okay. Not taking it off. Yeah.
The other thing is maitake. I mean, you can order some maitake mushrooms and eat them for dinner. You can get a maitake tincture and have a little of that at bedtime. I've seen people's blood
sugar. I got some maitake capsules.
Beautiful.
I took about 9 of those. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've taken those at night, and I did that for about a week, and there was like 0 effect.
Okay, we'll try the berberine and see what happens with that.
I've got a mushroom tincture that I got from Hawaii Farm, so I take that 2 tablespoons twice a day.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Super. All right, so just that's something you're going to be able to measure and monitor all throughout, you know, if you're on track, and be able to look and say, okay, I'm not really getting there. What can we do differently? What can we do in addition? What other additional nutrient supplements might I need to help bring it down, or meditation or something at that time? Okay?
Okay.
Great. Great. Who else? Who else wants to share? Just speak up.
For my 90-day goal, because of my setback with the accident, I lost 10 pounds and went down to 130, but I'm finally back to where I was when I started my original 90-day goal. So I'm back up to 140 pounds, and so I want to increase my weight by another 10 pounds over the next 3 months.
Okay.
And so I've pretty much take my action plan from before and just get that started again. With regards to the exercise, getting back into an exercise program, you and I had talked about increasing my meals. So I'm eating every 3 hours now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get in some more calorie intake as well as some fat, because my cholesterol had tanked.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. The other part has to do with wanting to make some strides on my autoimmune hypothyroid. And so I'm going to get into the thyroid revive and thrive program and get moving on the part 5 step by step and just start initiating those action items. And go at it hard for the next 3 months.
Yeah.
My heavy metals seem to be high, and so I'm starting to take the Pectisol C,
yep,
similar to Lori. And, well, that stuff doesn't mix very well, the powder, does it? So I'm basically throwing it in my mouth and just chugging down a good gulp of water.
When you put it
in the glass,
it just kind of clumps. Have you tried it with putting it in the blender or one of those little immersion kind of blenders?
Yeah, I've tried it. It just, it still clumps up at the bottom. It just doesn't. I've even tried warmer water and still I don't get much action on it. But I have the pills as well. I have both. And so when I need to move quickly, I drop down the capsules and drink the water with it. Okay. Now, my first question there had to do with, because how long do I have to wait till after I eat when I can start taking it? It's supposed to be on an empty stomach. When is it an empty stomach after I eat? How long?
Good question. It depends on what you eat, obviously, right? So some stuffs will go through quickly. I generally think about it being, you could take it an hour before you eat or 2 hours after.
2 hours after. Okay.
Yeah. So it's just as if you're going to be doing the 3 hour meal spacing, it's just when you're getting to that almost third hour that you could take it and then do it again. If you're doing 5-6 hours, it's easy to space it in an empty stomach. But given that you need to get more calories in, I told Rich and everybody else, cover your ears, eat more frequently. We're all different, right? And there's the general rules, but then there's he can't get enough calories in. Right? High metabolic rate, losing weight, you can't put the person who needs to drop weight on the same protocol as the person who needs to put on weight, right? So that's why we talked about that. Anybody else that's on the call, don't listen. It's not for you. Yeah. So I would do that. And how did you gain the 10 pounds? Did you think the 10 pounds, you lost it, right? And how did
I finally got active again. During the 3 months, I was pretty much housebound, chairbound.
Yeah.
So I started walking initially. The neurosurgeon said I could walk each day, and I just extended the walks. And then again, I was trying to eat more. Initially, after the accident, I just had a hard time preparing meals. I was beat up, so I was sitting in the chair a lot.
Yeah.
So I know I didn't prepare meals well. And so as time went on, my meals got better and better.
Good.
And then of course I recognized I was losing weight. So I just started trying to pack in the calories.
Right.
The high density foods.
Right. Yeah. Which is hard to do because if you're doing 6 hours, that's why it works so well for weight loss, to extend your meals, because it's just like there's just so much you can eat at one point in time.
Yeah. That's true because I was getting full, but the fact that I wasn't exercising obviously helped because I wasn't burning calories.
Right. Okay, cool. And so you're able to go back. Are you able to do weightlifting now?
I'm starting with the lightweights and working my way up.
Beautiful. And I will caution you to just not allow that go-getter to push yourself too hard, because you don't want to re-injure yourself. You want to go with where your body's at, because you had some nerve damage, you had some serious damage, and you don't want to run the risk of weakening it. Okay?
Yep.
Yeah, good. Great. Well, we got you back here. And the stress is super important. And with any kind of autoimmunity, when you go through a period where there's a heightened stress, it's going to make it worse. I remember working with a woman who had psoriatic arthritis, which is an autoimmune combination arthritis with psoriasis, and she had tremendous results. She was just getting so much better. She lost weight. Her joints were better. Her rash was better. She came in one day and said, "We just had a car accident." She had whiplash. It set her back so badly, that physical stress on the body, right? Because the stress is a big part of autoimmune is stress, right? So just remember that doing heart math and doing Muse or doing any kind of meditation, all of that stuff, that self-care stuff, that self-affirmation stuff is super important in addition to the physical stresses.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm also going back to work now. I'm not back full-time. I'm doing 3 days a week for about 6 hours a day. But I'm starting to get some pressure from my team to get back a little sooner and quicker. And when am I going to be full-time? And I find I still, when I get to about 2:30, 3 o'clock, I'm fatigued. I'm ready for my late afternoon nap. And so I'm just trying to hold strong with that and not get back too soon.
Yeah, it'd be great. And if you can maybe, you know, in addition, before going back to full-time days, do the, you know, do 4 days a week till that crash wall hits, and then do five, and then just, you can gradually increase it back. But really make sure everybody's aware if they'll tolerate it. I mean, I know you have to have a good cooperative boss, but when you're on medical leave, it's a little easier because they can get in trouble for pushing back too fast. But it's to just really make sure that you want to be doing it as much as possible, but you just can't risk.
Right.
Right. Just make sure everybody's real clear on that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And don't cave under the pressure. I know it's enough to do because you're a go-getter, you were a performer, and yeah, but just don't allow them to force you to make a decision that you'll regret.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Who else wants to share?
Did you get a chance to look at my labs at all?
Sequoia just sent them. Did you send them? She sent me in a thing, and I'm trying to remember because I think you sent them to me a while back, right?
They're all in his, they're all in his health tracker and his Google Drive.
All right, let me get them because I know I did look and I made comments on it. I thought I made comments on it. So Rich. Yeah, we'll find it. She sent me a report from the Master Tracker today, but I know that you put them in a while ago, so that's what got me confused. All right.
Right.
And Rich's actions. Master Tracker, here we are. All right. And it was the extra thyroids that you had.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was January 13th column, the last column.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did look at it, and I think it's all coming back to me. It's been a few weeks. I spoke to Sequoia about them.
Ooh, I'm zooming.
Whoops, my internet is unstable.
Yeah, you didn't drop, but you were gone for a moment there.
Okay. Well, I'm doing my best here. His thing is loading. I'm in a hotel room, and I have best internet I can possibly get, which I have no control over. Okay, I'm opening it up. It's just taken a lot longer to open these tabs up than it normally would. Okay, almost there. Uploading 100%, it says, so it should reveal the big reveal. Come on. And Laura, hi, there we go. I got yours open too. Okay, so your supplement one opened. Now let's get this open. There we go. Okay, so the date is 1/13.
Yes.
Okay. And your glucose was looking good at 80.
The lab messed up. They were supposed to do the insulin fasting slash post.
They didn't.
Yeah, they did the glucose instead.
Oh, lovely. Probably thought that's what you meant. Trying to get this, we used to be able to set it up so that it would freeze that first column so that I could see what the things were, because you're way over, you know, you've got like up to R or X or something like that. Let me see if I can get this to freeze. Freeze one column. Nope, it won't let me freeze because there's things. All right, so I just have to guess. So... okay, so 3.9 is your potassium's a little bit on the low side.
Just as a note, the night before I danced for 4 hours straight and had the blood draw the very next morning. So
4 hours straight
indicated I was hydrated.
Yeah. I wonder why. So,
yeah, so my minerals don't look too good.
Okay. I mean,
I thought I was drinking plenty of water with electrolytes.
Yeah, all phosphorus low, so your zinc is still low. Your cholesterol is still, well, they didn't do that again. Okay, so let's see. Thyroid, we have T4, free T4 is low, yeah, so it's pretty much. Yeah, your TPO antibodies are 100. Oh, I can't tell what date was that. What's the one in R? This one was, okay, so this was 18 and this was the 11. So those I already had looked at. You look down to see where the hemoglobin A1C and all that kind of stuff is. All right, here we go. Homocysteine is 8. CRP is less than 5. That's unusual that they would do less than 5.
Yeah, they didn't give me a number.
They didn't give you a number. Like, less than 5? That's ridiculous. The range is supposed to be, you know, up to, I mean, really, it should be under 1. So how could I tell if that's even any good?
I know. I called them on it to see whether I could get a number, but I didn't get a response yet.
Okay, ferritin looks okay. Vitamin Z is low, so you're going to have to work on that vitamin D. It had been up to 70.
So Sequoia took me off that in July because I had my, you know, my 95 supplements, and she cut me down to 20.
Okay, yeah, so you need the D. A good D. Now, I know she was concerned about some of the quality of some of the ones you were on, so I would look at a nice liquid D. I was at the store the other day and needed it because I'm traveling and I ran out and I got this Solgar. Actually looked pretty good. It's a liquid vitamin D3 and it's just got some sunflower seed oil and natural orange flavor in it. It's 5,000 per dropper. So I would get, you know, a liquid one tends to be absorbed best just because you don't have to deal with breaking down the cellulose and all. But given it's a 31, I would say I would be on at least 10,000 a day.
A day?
Yeah, 10,000 a day for 6 weeks. And then, because you need that D for healing at this point. Super important.
Yep.
So I would do it for 4 to 6 weeks and then retest it. And if it's still on the lowish side, you can continue on that. If it's gone up, but, you know, not quite all the way, you can lower it a little. So we can just decide after 6 weeks where it's at, whether you need to continue on that. But I don't think you can get in trouble with that.
Go with a Seeking Health?
Yeah, if they have it. I've never used a liquid D from them. I know Thorne has liquid D, Premier Research does, Biotics does. And like I said, I just found this at the health food store and it looked pretty decent from Solgar. I don't know how good it is, we'll see. But
okay.
Yeah. And then that
is... What? I thought my ECR really did a nice note. It went down from 82 to 8. That was pretty considerable on the inflammation, correct?
Yeah, I'm looking for that. Wait a sec. Where are we? Where did it go? It's hard to read because this is a small screen. I don't have my full screen. And
yep.
I have to scroll back and forth to see. Okay, so there's full ESR. Where is it? Yeah, I was hoping to get that insulin, your hemoglobin A1C.
Yeah, I'm going to have to redo it.
Yeah, okay. Ah, CRP. Yeah, CRP they screwed up. The ESR, yeah, well, that is considerably lower. So that's definitely better.
Now, what would we have attributed that to?
Well,
the fact that I had an accident and I've been out of work for 4 months.
It's a lower inflammation. I mean, it definitely is an inflammatory marker. So it definitely says there's lower inflammation and maybe all the rest. Like, you know, remember what we talked about? I said you'll get these results back and we'll be able to tell, well, on the one hand, it could be a mixed blessing, right? Because you got off of the stress. On the other hand, you had this major stress. But on the other hand, you took away this major stress that was the ongoing chronic stress. So yep. It could be that, you know, you spent a lot of time relaxing, you took a lot of vitamin C and a lot of anti-inflammatory type nutrients to heal, yep. And that could have brought it down. In any case, it's a good indicator. Because, you know, the last time you had the antibodies were done back in November, right? So it could be that between November and now your antibody levels have gone down. I mean, we generally don't review antibodies that quickly. I usually wait about 6 months. But it could be, there could be some indicator there. So just keep it up. Your goal, Rich, is to keep your stress levels as low as possible physically and mental and emotionally, and to keep the food stresses, right? So keeping on an anti-inflammatory, high nutrient dense diet, to be chewing and swallowing and eating under a really relaxed situation, right? And to build your body back up and making sure that you're building your body back up, right? Okay?
Yep.
All right. And we'll take another look at those nutrients. I want to look at it with Sequoia because I know she was concerned, rightly so, that you're on like 60 different supplements and some of them weren't very high quality. So I'd like to see, now that you're down to a core, what exactly do you need and how can you consolidate nutrients into a high density package? You know, a green powder is always a good, you know, high nutrient dense thing to add to your day. Some protein powder while you're healing, because you need extra protein to form those collagen cross linkages and all the things you need to do for healing. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else? Questions, comments? Want to share? Okay. Paula.
I can do.
Yeah, Paula. Sandra.
Okay. Well, for me, I noticed a big change since when I started. So I would say that things are definitely moving in the right direction. There are many things I still need to be working on, but overall, I think, you know, I feel that most of my energy has come back, and that feels really good.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
Dr. Ali opened the thyroid program for me, mm-hmm. because it looks like the next thing might be, well, my digestion is not perfect, or my elimination is not perfect yet. I still need to work on that. But I would like to work on improving the conversion from T4 into T3 and see if that moves the rest of the things.
And just know that conversion from T4 to T3, a big chunk of it happens in your gut. Right. So there's a connection,
yeah.
Right? So continuing to work on the gut and improving the gut is going to improve that conversion. So, you know, a lot of times we look and go, oh, what nutrients do we need for that? You know, let's just take some selenium. Yeah. But in reality, we have to look at the liver and the gut, because 75% of that conversion happens between the liver and the gut. Right. So we need to be, yes, supporting that and working on that. And I know you're working on that, the elimination and the bowels, and that's definitely
yes, every day.
Every day.
What I decided to do is, I haven't done it yet, but I ordered a biome test, mm-hmm. that might give an insight on what else is going on, as things, you know, that could come up as markers, or, you know, that could be a little bit more helpful,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in finding what is, you know, making me,
right,
it's still not be able disorder. To,
mm-hmm.
yes,
right,
yeah. So I'm curious about what we're gonna find out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you get the kit?
What, Yeah, I got the kit. I just have to do it.
Okay. It's always fun.
Well, one of the struggles I have, I think, is I'm taking too many supplements. So I'm curious if my body will be able to do things on its own without taking so many things.
So it's like kind of a catch-22, right? Because if you're working on healing your gut so that you can absorb more nutrients, there's this time period where you have to supply it before the gut catches up, right? So, you know, my ultimate goal is to get people on the minimum supplements necessary while you're healing the mechanism so that you absorb more and keeping that nutrient density of the diet super high, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah, last time we yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I said last time we spoke, we set up of redoing some of the tests maybe around this time. So maybe now it's time to redo some of the things and see how I'm doing. What do you think?
When you say redoing the tests, you mean the some of the paper pen tests to see what your numbers are? Because I think that's a good start.
Yes.
Right, is to go through the assessments. And I like to see people do those every 3 months. Most people just kind of stick their
tongue in when I say that. Talking about the assessments.
That you mean your
the thing that
your blood test.
I struggle with because I don't have time.
That's the part that
I find that, you know, I have so many that I haven't done or touched. So I go slowly, slowly, slowly.
Yeah, and if you do one little test a week, right, because I think it's good to just see what the signs are for those nutrient imbalances, right? Because then you can say, like with that, it's not a matter of, oh, well, iodine is low or chromium is low, let me go take a supplement. It's like, what foods can I look up, right? What foods can I focus on to increase the density of these particular nutrients in my diet, right? Yeah. And sometimes you have to just go higher than you would think because you're trying to bypass. So for example, I'll give you an example of zinc. Zinc's a tough one.
Yeah.
Zinc's a tough one to really get up to speed without supplementation because you require zinc in order to make stomach acid. You require stomach acid in order to absorb zinc. Right? And so it's like you have to break the cycle and you have to give both or stimulate both the bitters and then the zinc and be consistent with it for a while until you get to that point. And I've seen it with the, you know, the zinc taste test where you taste it. I've seen people do it and they get frustrated because they have to be taking a lot of it for a while. But then it's like it like suddenly passes the threshold. I remember when I first took that zinc tally test and I was like, I don't taste anything. This tastes like water. And I kept testing it. This tastes like water. I kept increasing my dose. This tastes like water. And then finally I got to the point where like, oh my God, this stuff tastes awful. Right? And I go, okay. And then I have this method of, okay, you taste it. It tastes awful. But don't just give it up. Some people say, okay, I don't need it anymore. So they stop. And then a month later, it tastes like water again. Right? So instead, you just don't take it for a week or you lower your dose for a week. And then you go over it again and again. But you have to maintain it. It's this very similar way that people make the mistake when they're doing the blood sugar balancing, right? They go through this whole process and my blood sugar is nice and it's great now. And so they stop everything. And when you stop everything, sometimes because your body's,
you go back.
Why it's so good, you go back. So that's why I describe a very systematic, slow process of reducing the supplements, continuing to test. Oops, I got to 75% of what I was taking. And now my number's not looking good so much anymore. Okay, bump it back up. Makes sense. So we just don't want to, we don't want to have the thing in mind of my goal is to reduce my supplements and have that at.
Yes.
Yeah. At the detriment of the body. Right.
No, my goal is that my body starts functioning a little without so many crutches.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, based on genetics, you need more crutches than you'd like to need, right?
Well, that's something I haven't done yet. Yeah. I haven't done a genetic test.
Right.
So I don't know the things I have. I'm suspicious about certain things, but I have right. no idea.
Right.
The other question I have is, I've been taking the Sun Warrior fulvic acid and things like that.
Right.
So now I'm doing the thyroid elixir every day with Shilajit, which is fulvic acid.
Yes.
So
yes.
then I don't need both, right?
Probably not. I mean, I always test my body and ask, but you can certainly think that they are very similar, right? The fulvic acid powder you're talking yeah. about, right? And you put it in the, yeah, yes. it's very yeah. similar. It's interesting because I explore and play with the muscle testing in addition to all the regular biochemical testing and all. And I'm always surprised with my own body. I have my liposomal vitamin C and I have my powdered vitamin C. Of course, theoretically, liposomal vitamin C is much more effective. It's better. And so I think, oh, well, this is the one that's going to be testing. And then I test and they're like, oh, how come my body doesn't want the liposomal today, but it wants the powdered stuff? And other days it wants something different. So I think, you know, we tend to get in a mode of, and rightly so, because it's hard to figure out otherwise, every day we take our supplements, right? We just, okay, this is the supplements we need, and we just need the same regime every day. But we don't really necessarily need the same thing every day, right? It's going to vary based on the level of stress that day, the level of exposures, the temperature outside, right? Who around us is sneezing? What other things do we need? And just our variation. So I don't get in the mode of taking supplements every day as a routine. What I do is I've gotten this mode of I have a little plastic container that has all my bottles in it, and I keep it in the fridge, just because most of them like refrigeration, not all, but it's easier to just stick the whole thing in. And I just pull it out and I go, okay, what do I need today? And I just ask my body, and it takes 5 minutes to go through, and then. It's interesting because some days I need all of it. Some days I need one of them. Oops. Can you guys see me?
You stopped her a little bit.
Yeah, I saw it said.
Yeah, you kind of freeze a little.
Yeah. But some days I need a lot of it, and some days I only need a little bit of it. And I just kind of learned to trust my body on it, right? And not expect that you have to do it all every day. Now, if I'm in a hurry, just kind of use an intuition about, there's too many people with a cold right now. I'm going to take extra vitamin C or whatever. But the more you tune in and the more you trust your body, the more you can get good answers and not spend a lot of time taking supplements you may not need. And sometimes they can throw you off if you take too much. So it's just really tuning in. And some people don't need to do this little, muscle test thing or whatever. You just have a sense of it. And that's how I get after a while. I just pick it up and I know, right? My body is energetically connected to the energetics of that supplement. And do you ever just like, I think I really need this today? Or, I don't think I need this today. And I think the more we learn to just tune in and trust your body, the better it is. Now, the average person, we're so disconnected from who we are and how we feel and what we need that it's hard to trust that. But the more you just learn that this is the healer right in here, right? This whole being, not the brain, but the whole being, right? And when we learn to tune in and trust it and make decisions not based on 30 seconds on the tongue. Somebody loved that when I said that, We make decisions based on how it's going to feel for 30 seconds on the tongue versus how is it going to feel for, the lifetime. In our body, right, of creating that that balance that we all crave. So we all want the balance. We all want to feel that. And sometimes it's, we make decisions based on the 30 seconds on the tongue or the whatever instantaneous pleasure that we're looking for. I hope I didn't go off. Yeah.
Instantaneous pleasure, that's me. That's what I...
But do you want that short-term prep pleasure, or you want that?
No, I just, right? I just enjoy.
But yeah, pleasure is what we're here for. Right? That's what we're here for. But it's a matter of that, those trade-offs. And do we want that short-term pleasure or the long-term pleasure? Do we want the chocolate cake expense of the long-term, or do we want that, that deep? We were having a conversation on Facebook today with one of our coaches, Tony, who some of you, many of you know, and it was about really, really tuning in. When you really do go back to your big why, those big whys that give you the pleasure, then when you tune in with, okay, eating in a way that's health, supporting my health is giving me this, it's not like, oh, I get to lose 5 pounds. Like, who cares about the 5 pounds? I get to feel like bliss in my body. I get to experience deep relationships. I get to play in the studio and make great art pieces versus eating chocolate cake. Huh. Right? Which is going to give you that deeper, longer term pleasure. You know that the chocolate cake is going to give you delightful pleasure for 30 seconds on the tongue. But the long-term effect of that is that sluggishness you're going to feel the next day, the guilt you're going to feel because you didn't stick, right? But if you go, wow, I'm just going to forego the chocolate cake, have my salad, and go in the studio and create a work of art, which is the deeper, longer-term pleasure.
That's right. Well, I haven't eaten a chocolate cake in more than a year.
I know. You've been really angelic about that. I know. Good for you, and good for you. Yeah, it's been about 35 years for me. I don't even remember what it tastes like. You. But I could easily get back addicted to it if I let myself. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so let us know what, you know, if you need help with deciding what tests and with interpreting them, obviously. We'll do that when they come back. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Well, so it looks like Christine just joined us. Hi. Oops. I don't know if she hears us, but I don't hear her. Let's see if she's unmuted. Nope, she's unmuted. Hi, Christine. Oh, that's Maya. Wait a minute. That's not Christine. That's
Well, I am here. Yes. Is it me that's waggling my hands?
Yes, it's you. And I was looking and going, are you on video, Maya? And I was like, Christine. Oh, funny.
Yeah, no, I had my video turned off. I'm on my iPhone, so I can't see any of the controls, and I didn't realize I had my video off for the whole call so far, and I just turned it back on again. So
I'm glad we get to see you. Yep.
So. Yes. Yes, I know.
No wonder she's crazy. So just called her the wrong name, like Christine.
Right. Well, I guess since here I am, I should share. I guess I've been struggling the last couple of months, actually, and had real sugar for the first time in, you know, I don't know how many years. And, you know, listening to, you know, what you've been talking about, you know, with other people, way too much stress, the psoriasis is totally out of control. For Rich, by the way, Seeking Health does have a vitamin D liquid that actually tastes good. So
good.
It's a good one and helped bring my levels up. I have been, you know, not having consistency and probably large enough amounts in my zinc and not doing the bitters. So it's like all these things I feel like I have to regroup. And so I think part of the frustration is that no matter what I do, I never feel good. I take it back. I, compared to where I was years ago, I feel so blessed that I'm not in constant horrible pain and I can walk and I can bend my fingers and, you know, all of that stuff. But, you know, for the amount I focus on all this stuff, it's just like a snail's pace.
The progress.
So I felt like I had a real hard time, like, setting goals, because of the, like, the goals I set in the last 90, I mean, I don't know, even know that I wrote them and sent them in, but that I did personally, I wasn't able to do any of them. It was like, you know, 3 hours in the sun and 2 hours of cold therapy and castor oil packs and, you know, 8 hours of sleep every night. And of course, you know, I always do the gluten-free and healthy eating stuff, but yeah, and just so much stress. I haven't had a roommate to help pay the rent since July. And my rent is more than my total income. You know, that's even before food or bills or anything. And so it's, you know, been really stressful. I took a part-time job to try to at least try to cover, you know, some of the bills. So that means less time to do everything. So I just the last couple of weeks have been looking into and deciding that I feel like the only way I can really shift and make changes goes to what you were saying, which is fasting, total water fasting. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing that seems to work for me. And, so, and I think at this point I need to focus on March to do like a couple of weeks, because I was only home 4 days in January and I'll be home 7 days in February, and I'm gone all the rest of that time. So, and I feel like with, you know, water fasting, you do need to be pretty careful and not be running around too much and, things like that, because I can't afford to go to True North again.
Can you do 2 days a week, you know? Just do the intermittent.
Oh yeah, no, that's doesn't feel like it's gonna do anything. I'm thinking of maybe even, you know, maybe 7 days on, 2 days off, you know, with mm-hmm. sort of fast mimicking foods on those days.
Yeah.
On the 2 days. And then you know, or 2 weeks on and, you know, 4 days off or something. And just try to do something like that.
Yeah.
So,
even if you don't see a significant immediate shift with doing 2 days a week, right, or a day, and mm-hmm. then, you know, alternate day fasting, you're still going to do yourself a lot of good, right, as opposed to not doing. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know if you've read Jason's mm-hmm. book. Have you read his book? He talks a lot about the alternate day fast, the benefits of alternate day fasting. Right, it allows you mm-hmm. to stay and maintain without having to, you know, completely change your life and cut down mm-hmm. on everything and all. You might want to look at that, because mm-hmm. I think it's going to do the benefit, even though you don't notice it as overtly as you would if you do a 2 week fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, as it is, I already fast, you know, most. You know, 16 to 20 hours a day anyway. I mean, I had gotten down to just basically one meal, you know, that, and maybe a few days a week, two small meals.
Got it.
So, you know, I was just trying to do a lot of intermittent fasting, but
okay.
Yeah, so not enough. Right.
One of the things that we found for you a while back was that what you had to be consistent about your fat intake, that you were, mm-hmm. you had so lowered your metabolic rate that, you know, 600 or 800 calories a day, and you were barely maintaining, right? And then mm-hmm. when you added like that extra 300 calories a day of fat, that bumped up and you started to trigger some weight loss.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I've been not doing the coconut oil like I was.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to get up to at least 3 tablespoons or more a day, and yeah, at this point, it's maybe once a week I have a tablespoon. Yeah, so that's a good point.
You know, I want to go back to that. So it's some of the things that you know, and I know you've had a lot of stress the last couple of years and with the writing of the book. But I also know that when you just shared your goals, so your goals were like off the charts insane. I mean, I'm just going to say it that way. Like, oh, okay, yeah, 3 hours a day of this and 4 hours of that and 8 hours of that. It's like you mm-hmm. set yourself up for failure, because like how could you possibly fit all that in? And then if you don't, then you're like, ah, I didn't do it, bad me, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. But what you set up was mm-hmm. not very possible. So what if you set smaller goals, like 20 minutes of sun? And, you know, and you say, well, that's not going to do me any good. But start there. Mm-hmm. Give yourself the feeling of success mm-hmm. because the feeling of defeat just backfires on you. You know, it gets into your psyche and then it completely turns those stress pathways on and it counteracts what you're trying to do with the great habits. See, but when you describe that, did anybody else feel that way? Like, blah, blah, blah. How could anybody possibly normal mortal do that? It seemed like over the top, right? And that's how you are. But
yeah.
Right?
Well, but I know it's just, it just feels like that's what it's going to take. And it's like, even with exercise, instead of helping, it raises my blood sugar. You know, it's just so frustrating that, you know, all these things that work for everybody else, it's like, I'm so, you know, whatever. It's just, I don't get the same results.
You don't, but the thing that worked, I remember distinctly. Number one, it was when you got the EMF thing and got the EMFs out of your room. But number two was when you added the fat and it was counterproductive. Like, okay, we're going to add 300 calories a day of fat to your diet and you're going to lose weight. Like, seriously? And you did.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, you're right. And I had a lot less pain and more energy with, like, hiking up hills and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, wasn't getting out of breath or as much pain. Yeah. So no, that's a good reminder. Thank you.
I want to give you a goal to set. Of one item. Just this one item.
Okay.
Coconut
oil.
Focus on that one thing, right? And be successful with it. And then you can add another thing. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Great.
All right. The overachiever part that is all the good stuff you do. Right? Because it's like that part of you that just doesn't think it's good enough and you have to do harder and work harder and do more.
Mm-hmm. I had another question too. I know in some of my notes I had written down that OxyCell was a good thing for me to add in. However, when I sat down to order it, besides being outrageously expensive, it has lavender in it and I'm allergic to lavender.
Oh, bummer.
Is there something else that's similar that doesn't have lavender? Because just using like Dr. Bronner's lavender soap, my hands just are on fire.
Right? Yeah, no, you don't want to do that. And is it both OxyCells? Because OxyCell has a super OxyCell and a regular. So look to see if both.
Oh, I only saw one online, but I'll look and see.
Look to see if both of them. I don't know, you know, for a fact. I know there's a few slight differences between them. It's.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of other, I mean, I know there's an SOD cream that was available on Amazon for a while, topical, which is only part of what's in OxyCell. OxyCell has SOD and glutathione and all that, but it might, you know, it might be that there's some other combo formula that you could do. You know, and just look up the ingredients. The main ingredients in are the main antioxidants, like glutathione, SOD, catalase. And then it's got some of the herbs and stuff as a support. So maybe you could just kind of do some searching and see if there's something
else. Piece it together.
Piece it together, yeah.
Yeah.
I know there's an SOD.
Okay. Great.
All
right. Thank you very much.
Maya. All right. Good to see you. It's unusual.
Obviously, you too.
I've always been on just audio. So
every call, I know. It's just, it's been crazy. Yeah.
How's the book out, by the way? Is it all published?
It's published. It came out December 12th. It's gotten great reviews on Amazon and just feels great to have it done and out.
Tell us the name.
It's called The Craving Cure.
Okay.
And Julia Ross is the author. And yeah, she just wrote a really flattering paragraph to intro my quarter or third of the book. Yeah, so it's great.
Wonderful, The Craving Cure. Okay, so if you want to look that up.
The Craving Cure. Yeah.
Craving Cure. Maya did all the recipes.
She
Yay!
Yay!
Congratulations! I know you were working.
Definitely not raw vegan though at all. It's like high fat, high vegetables, but
okay, high vegetables, that's
much
good.
More animal protein and stuff for because it was matching her particular perspective on her research and things like that. So
good. Thank you, Maya. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Who hasn't talked? That wants to. Cece, hi. Are you open? Let's see.
Yeah, she was raising her hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good, 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 good. So, I wrote a goal similar to my last one because I didn't completely get there. But I have this other desire that I want to talk about, and maybe you can help me figure out its place in all this. Okay. So, I'm intuitively sensing there's a lot of metal toxicity, heavy metal toxicity in my system. And it's doing a job on my liver, and that's why I have all these problems. And I kind of put it all together because I've seen a couple of different practitioners, and a couple of them said it's my liver that's affecting everything. So maybe I should start there with the heavy metals, have that as my focus. So I'm supposed to start the GRAND program. So is that piece in there dealing with the heavy metals? Oh, you froze.
I did. My back?
Okay.
I don't think there is anything directly that deals with heavy metals in the GRAND program.
Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me? Am I frozen? Ah. Darn it. Okay, I'm back. How about the rest of you? Are you still there? Hello? Hello? All right. I got bumped out. Am I back?
Yes, you're back.
Whew!
She was Am talking I still about asking?
What's that? Yeah, no. What I heard was about, you're asking about heavy metals and whether there's a piece in the GRAND program. And there's not a specific piece in the GRAND program on heavy metals. But here's the thing. I think that a lot of people make the mistake of jumping in. You just jump around piecemeal, and we want to jump in and clear heavy metals, and that's a good thing. But if you don't help your gut, you're not going to be able to get rid of the heavy metals. So I think that working with the GRAND, and you know, you can do a number of things. I mean, you could do heavy metal testing. I'm not a huge fan of having to do that. I could just, if you have a set intuitive sense, one of the things that Rich is doing and Laura are doing is something called a Peptisol, which is a very gentle, which you need, your body needs gentle, very gentle chelating agent. You don't want to do any heavy metal, like intense heavy metal detox cleanse. You're too sensitive for it. Most people are quite frankly too sensitive for it. EDTA and DMSA and all that.
I agree with that. I would
do that. It would not work well for you. But you could do this thing called Peptisol. And you could do a simple, like, one dose a day. You could do 2 doses a day. You could do 3 doses a day. But I would start with 1 dose a day. And it's
Does that make you go to the bathroom more?
It doesn't, actually, no.
Okay.
What it does is it binds. It holds and pulls any of the metals that are there. Metals plus toxins. So it's more than just metals. It just helps to pull it out. And it's almost like it's a gentle gradient. So as it pulls out and excretes the ones that are in your colon, it allows more to flow in, like to be pulled out of tissue stores, right? And doing that, supporting in GRAND, we do have a whole section on supporting the liver and gallbladder, right? And helping do it has a little mini, little gentle gallbladder liver cleanse. And it talks about some of the herbs and the foods and just gentle stuff. So if you were to go step by step through GRAND to optimize your digestion, add in that heavy metal piece. And then when we do green, we're going to do another green cleanse in April, right? And Lynn's going to mostly lead it, but we're going to do a green cleanse in April. So then by then, maybe you'll be ready to do that, and that'll even further support it. Jay pointed out, yes, cilantro. There's simple foods that you can do. Cilantro, chlorella, right? And just start making a little bit of cilantro pesto. And I know we talked about this once before recently, that to increase.
Yes, I'm doing all that.
So those are really good things. And we don't have to do sledgehammer approaches to getting rid of things or doing things. We want to work with the body in a gentle way, as opposed to putting extra load and extra stress on the body. And when you cleanse too quickly, it can be devastating, really, too quickly. So
that's I'd true. Say, especially
go with the plan of the gut, right? The gut.
I have a question.
Whoops.
Oh, hi.
Frozen.
So, this True North place where they do supervised fasting, mm-hmm. is that's another way of cleansing, right? And encouraging the immune system to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
But the toxicity that's in our body must get released too when you do fasting. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that's why some people have to, it's good to be doing it in a supervised way. You've got to be drinking plenty of water. You got to keep moving, skin flushing, right? Because as things are released, you want to get it out of the system. Sweating, saunas are a great way. Like if you have access to a sauna, that's a great way, rebounding, right, to bounce up and down. But there's a lot of ways to encourage your body to release. It starts with the cellular release, right? So the body goes in and just dumps stuff out of the cellular storage places, and fat is a good storage repository. Some of us have more fat than others, but either way, our fat is toxic. It's just where the body insulates the rest of the system from those toxins. And so when we do any kind of cleansing, whether it's just green juices, whether it's water fasting, whether it's, some kind of powders, some potions, it's all facilitating that, but you got to take it all the way, right? We have to sweat. We have to make sure we keep moving. We have to drink like crazy. And that's why, like in our green cleanse, if you go back to the green cleanse materials, we talk about a lot of the adjunctive cleansing things. All of those would be helpful for you too right now. The skin brushing, right?
Right. Yeah, I do that. So it might be a good idea for me to have one juice day a week and see how I do with that.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You're sensitive. So you want to make sure you don't overtax. Are we frozen? That's all look frozen to me. Castor oil packs, Drina says. Can you hear me? Oops. This is not a very productive call, is it?
Back. I was going to suggest, because you're talking about the liver in part 6, which is the environment, there's a really great piece in there about the liver detoxification pathways.
Yes.
With that whole
piece. Oh, yeah, there's a beautiful card, and there's a lot of notes that talk about the different nutrients that push the different, there's 6 phases or 6 components of phase 2 liver detox, and each of them has different nutrients that support it and supply it. And each of those sections detox different types of toxins and hormones and whatnot. Did you hear me, or was I frozen? Am I frozen?
you're good now. So okay. My idea of juicing one day a week might be a good idea for me.
It could be, sure. And I like Lynn's idea about going into that environment section. And there's the charts. And you can look it up and go, oh, well, look, I can help to get rid of heavy metals with these particular nutrients, and just to help push that pathway in the liver.
Okay.
Gentle. Stick with gentle, but get the gut moving in the right direction, because that's going to help with the autoimmune stuff as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That was my main thing. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I'm going to bed now.
Go to bed.
I've been going to bed at 9, and it's been so wonderful for my body.
Oh, that's awesome.
Really, wow. Shocked.
Good for you.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do that. So thank you, everybody. I'm sorry I can't be on much
that's
longer.
That's okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. And I'm on the West Coast right now, so it's earlier for me. But I've been going to bed early, too. Okay, who haven't we heard from? Paula and Laura. So who wants to go?
I'll go.
After labs. Okay, so we'll go Paula and then we'll go Laura. Okay.
Hi.
Oh, and of course, Deborah. Deborah, too. Quiet with Deborah. Okay, go for it.
I did write out my 90-day goal, and it's the same as 3 months ago, continuing to work on my sleep, but with some different action steps as part of that than 3 months ago. And I am recognizing that I tried some things over the last 3 months that weren't helpful, so that's good information. You know, I know that is helpful, even though I haven't gotten where I want to be. I'm still, you know, getting good information. But I'm waiting for the results of the stool test to find out what direction to go with, you know, a protocol. So yes. I think that's going to be that's possibly going to make a big difference in helping to balance various things, neurotransmitters and whatever else needs healing in my gut. I also know that continuing with stress management is a huge piece for me, as well as connecting with my lifelong tendencies towards being a high achiever. Mm-hmm. And for me, that doesn't manifest as deliberately staying up really late, you know, and trying and deliberately trying to shorten my sleep. It's more of a subconscious thing for me. Mm-hmm. I programmed myself as a teenager to wake up early and study for tests, that sort of thing. And I think that's part of what is influencing me more on a conscious level now that I've connected with that. Yes. So that's pretty much where I am.
Fantastic. You know, I know you've worked really hard at this, and I love the perspective you shared of, I tried some things and they didn't work, and guess what? That was good information. Because whatever information you do, you try something, and this goes for Maya too, right? You try something, you find what doesn't work, that's as helpful. Oh, maybe not quite as helpful, but it's helpful in a way, as well as what does work. Because, okay, I went down that path. That didn't work. That didn't. So it gives you the places to rule out. And this I want to throw out there, and it just came to me as you were speaking, so I'm just going to trust intuition to guide me. But it was like, you've had this sleep issue for so long, right? It's part of you, your core. And it's almost, I wonder how, if your body can even imagine like getting into bed and falling asleep and waking up at 7:30 the next morning. Can you even imagine what that feels like?
Well, I experienced that 19 years ago, so I do remember what that was like.
Okay, so good. Yeah. You did. I want you to bring that up every day. I want you to go back and just visualize that. And not just visualize it, but like we describe in heart math, is to full body experience it, right? Oh, I'm falling asleep right now. Oh, what a relief. I feel my shoulders dropping. You know, like really get into it. What does it feel like? What does it taste like? What does it smell like even, right? And that feeling of waking it up, and just play it. Play it over and over and over and over again, kind of like the athletes do, like they play the golf swing in their brain before they even pick up the golf club.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. because it's so hard when we lose track of it, when we get used to a certain way of being, and our body just plays it, right? Expects it, it plays it. And the more you crowd out those memories and those neural pathways with this old new neural pathway. And it's great that you have that remembrance of it 19 years ago that you can go back to. So that was just my intuitive hit tonight, was for you to just really just go back there and spend some time every day in being there, in that feeling.
Okay. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm also evaluating the supplement protocol that I've been on since last April. It's possible that it is actually interfering and creating problems. I'm still waiting to hear from the doctor's office so that I can actually talk to somebody about it. But at this point, I'm not inclined to continue with the protocol that I have been on.
And sometimes you need to scrap it and start again, right? And maybe there are pieces of it that are working. Maybe there are pieces that aren't. And it's been, you've given it a long time. I mean, that's 8 months.
Eight months, yes.
Months is a long time. It's not like you just tried it for 2 or 3 months.
No, it's plenty long for it to have been effective if it was going to be.
Right, right. Okay, well, let me know what they say and if you get through to them, because yeah, I think it would be a wise decision if that's what you're feeling. Because, you know, it's like, what's the definition of insanity, right? You just keep doing the same thing again and expecting to get different results. And yeah, you have to play things out long enough. But when you get to the point where you're not, you gotta go, okay, let's reevaluate this. Let's see what we could make. Tweaks, subtle tweaks sometimes, and sometimes it's just throw the whole thing out and start over again. And okay, well, thank you, Paula.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so we've got Laura and then Deborah. How's that? Laura, are you there? You look frozen.
Oh,
there you go. Yay, she's moving. I have your I got your labs back, so I wanted to go over that.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes, I have the thyroid lab and my metal lab. And what I did is I wrote a small synopsis of my old the three metal labs that I have to see how it has evolved.
Okay.
It's right in the
okay, I can do one at a time, Laura. So I've got the thyroid open already. It's refreshing because my computer froze earlier. So it's refreshing. I'll go through that real quick. There's not a whole lot in there to say anything about. And then we'll go to the metals. So you redid your metals as of what day?
The end of December.
Okay, good. All right. And that's been, you've been on the...
XSLC. I've been doing, you're asking me for everything I'm doing?
No. I know you've been doing that for how long is all I was going to say. All right.
Oh, I think, I have to look because I took the test in January, but I don't think I started the PECTSLC in January. Okay. I'm going to look now on my Master Health Tracker.
Okay, we can look that up. So looking at your thyroids that you got back in December, you know, your TSH is up and down. It's constant because of the antibodies. The antibodies are, you know, one of them is down, you know, or about the same as it was. The other has gone up again. So it looks like the, let me see which one is which order it is. Yeah, the TPO has gone up and the antithyroglobulin is about, it's pretty much about the same. It's been up and down. I think that, you know, given you moved out of the house and the molds, I think the molds plays a huge role in the antibodies not improving. So, you know, we'll see what happens given you'll be out of there and redo these in maybe 3 months. But your TSH, you know, it's up and down. It's up this time. Your free T3 is better than it was. It had been 2.5. It had been 2, 2.3. It went up to 2.9, down to 2.5. It's up to 2.7. And again, when there's the stressors of gut stress and liver stress, you're going to have a lower conversion. Simple as that. And your T3, your free T3 is low, but your total T3 is even lower than that. So, I don't think there's too much to say other than, the working on the stressors, working on the metals, working on, being in the mold-free environment is important. And looking at, the gut stuff, and making sure that you're really continuously working on the gut to get that clear, because with the metals and molds, it's going to be putting strain on the gut and causing it to be a problem. So,
and when you say looking at the gut, do you mean the bacteria and the leaky gut? And
yes, the leaky gut, right? Right, any food sensitivities, but leaky gut is a biggie, and making sure that that's under control. So, I think the biggie is the mold and the metals here, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, when we will look at my metals, you will notice that they're actually getting higher. And so I heard what you were saying to Cece to work both with the gut and the and the metals. I've been doing more energetic work with my gut, like the bacteria and all that.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of time, but what could I add to that?
Whether there's something to add to it. Because here's the thing. You've been fighting an uphill battle. Having been in the house with mold contamination for a long time. And it's like you're fighting this uphill battle. You're doing all these things to try to support, but the environment is such that there's that constant stress on the system. Mm-hmm. So I think the best thing you could have done was to leave and be out of there. So where am I finding the latest?
So you go to lab,
blood test folder. Is that where there's
not the blood test, before the blood test, and then you will see all the different ones. You will see blood tests, metal. You will see others. One says others. Let me go there.
Yeah. So I see small group coaching, daily intake, assessment, audio calls, lab test. It's under lab testing.
Lab testing, and then you will see metal test.
They got it.
It's the seventh one.
I see 117, 1217, and 717. Okay.
Yeah, and then I put a little synapses.
Okay, good.
Metal test synapse. So you can see more clear, maybe more clear.
All right, so it looks like 110.17 was when you first got it taken. You had 4.3 lead, 83 arsenic, 0.5 thallium, A4 seasoning, and mercury. And then as 7.24, the lead was a little higher. There was thallium, mercury a little higher. And then cesium. And then nickel and barium. And now you've got barium, cesium, lead. Lead is about the same, mercury. Yeah, so it seems like what we can be looking at is your body's eliminating. The metal test was the urine, right? The urine test?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And did you do it with the challenge, like taking...
Yes.
You did. You took a challenge. Okay. So
you mean the DMS?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this was it. So it's just saying that there's still more, and it's still coming out.
Could it be that the metals are coming out of my bones? Is that how deep it's removing metals from?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. As we, sometimes it seems like it's getting worse before it gets better, because the body is sequestering it from the or pulling it out of these places where it's been protected, right? So, I mean, it's hard to tell. You can't really tell which component they're coming out of, but it's not uncommon to see this, especially given the slow, right? The gentle approach that you're taking with the Pectisol. Whereas if you were taking a daily dose of the EDTA or DMSA, you might be pulling this out faster, but you run the risk of it not exiting and recycling and getting into your brain. And that's the scary part. That's why I'm real careful about using any of those serious ones. Plus, you know, DMSA, EDTA, those sorts of things, they actually pull out the good metals. So I've seen people go on these intense, you know, suppositories or oral chelation therapies or even IV chelations, and they feel horrible during it just because the body is also losing a lot of the regular metals, and so they have to go on for 5 days and off for 5 days and be messy. So, yeah, we definitely see things moving. They're pretty much the same ones, and they're moving to different compartments.
Yeah.
How much of the Pectisol are you taking?
I'm taking 2 scoops a day.
2 scoops a day.
And then at night I'm taking the charcoal, activated charcoal. Okay. And then I was doing the enema, but since 1st of January, I'm not doing it. I don't have the kit yet. Maybe I should continue. But I am sweating with the really steep hill.
Well, that's I think that, you know, enema, you don't want to get too dependent on it. So I think you can probably do it a couple of times a week. I think castor oil packs, I don't know if you're doing those, but castor oil packs.
Yeah, I haven't started it yet because I've been putting in Connecticut. I was putting the castor oil on my stomach, and then I was adding a fabric. And every day, I would throw away that fabric. But I don't have any fabrics right now, and so I'm gathering fabrics. So I haven't started.
Got it. And, you know, with castor, there are disposables you can use, right? You can order on Amazon. They have the ones that Jane recommends when she does her cleanse. It's like,
I didn't hear
there's
what
a
you said.
Disposable packs that you can use instead of the flannel that Jane uses them in her cleanse. And it's almost like it's a hospital bed pan kind of.
The blue one.
Yeah, blue ones, right? And that's a possibility too. And she likes that because she thinks we should just throw them away. A lot of people say reuse them, you know, until you use them 3-5 times. But on the other hand, you do want to get rid of whatever stuff you're pulling out and drawing out.
How does the toxin go into the fabric? Because if I leave it all night long, you know, the fabric, the castor oil. In the morning, there's. Oh, I see. Yeah, the fabric absorbs the oil.
Yeah.
Because there's no more oil on my stomach.
That's
I was
right.
Thinking.
Pulling it out. Yeah. So I would.
But doesn't the oil need to penetrate somehow to absorb it, or it has somehow some power to? To pull the toxin, that's how it works?
Castor oil does have the power to pull. And yes, it gets absorbed through the layer of your skin, but it's also, it's pulling out.
It's like a clay. It's like clay pulls the toxin from a pimple, for instance.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, maybe the enemas once or twice a week and the castor oil packs 2 or 3 times a week. If you have access to a sauna, otherwise keep walking up that hill. Getting the sweat going, and you want to keep things moving. So making sure that you are having 2 or 3 bowel movements a day, plenty of water. Even if it is winter, we tend not to drink as much in the winter because we don't notice that we're hot or dehydrated, but it's an important thing to do.
I'm boiling my water. I'm not sure if it's necessary. I'm just thinking, what if there's bacteria in the spring? Am I also killing the nutrients?
Well, you're not killing nutrients, but what, you know, the beauty of spring water is it's moving, right? You're getting that flow, and when you boil it, you stop that. So, you know, that bacterial contamination, of course, is a valid concern, and maybe you can get it tested, get the spring tested.
But you never know. With the bacteria, it comes and it, you test it, it may not be there, but then there is a dead animal.
I don't know why, which, yeah, it depends. I mean, how deep is the spring? Are you just, is it a ground surface spring that you're grabbing from? You can always put something like, not Oregon grape, what is it called? Grapefruit seed extract in the water, right? Or something along those lines. But a lot of people do drink from springs, and the beauty of the spring is it's a movement, it's a vortex, right? And you get the advantage of the water from the vortex.
And that stays in, I mean, this is a house, so the water is still for a while until we open the faucet.
Yeah, so the water is spring-fed, so your faucets are spring-fed, is that correct?
Yeah, but what I mean is, yes, that's correct. But what I mean is the water is still until I open the faucet, so it doesn't move.
Right, but it's not like, you know, like when you take water, like what we do is we have the reverse osmosis on it. That's not the ideal way to drink water. It's going through these filters, and it's heated, and it's as, you know, it's not natural, but it does remove the contaminants and the chlorine and all the other drugs. So, you know, it's hard to tell with water. And I think that we're never going to have the ideal perfect scenario, right? Unless you, like, spring is as close as you can get. You just have to know the surface. And if the spring is fed underneath the ground, it's unlikely to be surface contaminated by, you know, an animal coming by, right? Whereas if it's a surface spring and you're just gathering water into buckets, then you run that risk. So, yeah, testing it is what I would do, but everybody has a different tolerance for that sort of thing. I don't know if Lynn has any other ideas about that.
You could run it through a Berkey filter.
Yeah. But then I would remove all the minerals.
No.
I don't think so.
Oh. No, that's what I have.
Oh,
I have a Berkey. They actually have a travel one that I take when camping. And so you can get water from the stream and just run it through there and somewhat safely drink it.
That's what I've used camping, right?
It removes the bacteria, but not the minerals.
Right.
Not the good ones. I mean, it does like fluoride and those types of things.
Yeah, maybe they have different filters. I heard they have different kinds of filters. So that's an idea.
They actually have one that I've been looking at. Well, they don't, but you can buy them. It's called a bone charred filter, and it actually absorbs even more. The only thing that really is keeping me from it is, yes, it comes from charred bones, and so I'm like, that animal lover part of me is like,
about that. But isn't your state, can you say some one time it was illegal to buy a water filter?
Yeah, thankfully I have friends that live in Minnesota, so
filter, can you imagine?
Crazy. So I had to send them there, but I do a lot of things under the radar here.
Yeah. Crazy. It's crazy what we have. Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
And I was just recapping in my head everything we talked about. So basically I'm just going to continue what I'm doing here.
If you feel like you can increase your pectisol and see if that makes a difference and speed it up, but also watch that doesn't trigger an over-the-top detox reaction. But that could be it. Increase the detoxification with going back to the enemas once or twice a week, and then with doing the castor oil packs a couple, three times a week.
Okay. I have some other thoughts, if it's good with you.
And I want to give time for Deborah, so if it's a couple of quick thoughts, sure.
So the cashew, I'm making my cheese and yogurt, and I don't have the tools that I have at home. I mean, in Connecticut, this is my home now. And so I find that when I use the mixer, when the cashews are wet, it's gritty. So my question is there a difference of soaking nuts and seeds once they're ground or when they're whole?
Yeah, absolutely. If you soak them when they're whole, you're going to germinate them. You're going to activate them. You're going to open up the breakdown. It's like germination, right? If you plant a seed and you soak it in water, it opens up and the little shoot comes out. It's alive. If you take that same seed and you grind it up and then you soak it, you're not going to get a plant from it.
I'll get it.
Okay. Right? So that's the difference, right? So if you grind them first, you're just going to get a wet nut. You're not going to get the activation of the nut, the germination of the nut. It's just a wet nut, right?
Okay.
More feel better or taste better, but it's not going to be healthier for you.
Yeah, I live with the grit.
And you don't have a blender? Is that the idea?
I'm sorry?
You don't have a blender?
I have a blender, but it's not like the bullet blender that I have, or the Vitamix. It doesn't blend all the way. And I do have a coffee grinder, so if I put it in the coffee grinder first, I mean, I could spend an hour just grinding my two cups of and it still doesn't come out smooth. I could go the old way with wood. Maybe I can find that. And then go like this with a flat piece of wood. Yeah. Pestle. Yeah.
Pestle, yeah. Interesting. Well, let us know how it comes out, because it's always, you know, it's always interesting to see when you're traveling or when, you know, somebody's trying to do it the old-fashioned way, how they can actually do it.
Yeah, and I'm using the oven as opposed to the dehydrator, and it's working wonderfully.
You just said it really well. Yeah, keep doing it. That's great. It's good to know.
I have another question, but I'll wait maybe after Deborah. If we have time.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Deborah. Oops, let's unmute you. There you go. Whoops.
I don't know what to talk about. I just am enjoying listening to everyone and just showing up. I'm in my introverted mode right now.
Aww. How are you feeling? How are you feeling overall?
Well, just the last 2 hours I've had this full-blown cedar thing going on. But before that, I was fine. So you've seen me like this. This is what I'm doing. But I guess what I've been mainly concentrating on is my meditation every day.
Good.
And really learning what an empath is. Mm-hmm. And understanding myself for the first time in 60 years. And why all my life I've been labeled sensitive and this and that. And so I'm reading this book called The Empath's Survival Guide by Dr. Orloff.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And it's a really good book.
Awesome.
It's opening. Yeah, she's an MD. So,
you know,
anyway, that's kind of what I'm doing right now.
I think, you know, that kind of thing, like it's not a label that parents put on their kids. It's not like, oh, you're overly sensitive. Oh, you're this. And it's almost a negative label. Yes, just don't be so sensitive. And it's actually this gift that you have that can be used for your good and the greater good if only the world would see it that way. You know what I mean? So it's the awakening to that gift right now, I think, is beautiful. And, you know, 6 years later, it's a little later, but what the heck, at least you're opening up to it and getting to be able to explain some of the weird experiences you've had in your life. And now it's you picking up in other people's images.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fascinating. Fascinating. Wow. I was frozen again. Damn.
Sure.
So my youngest daughter, who's 16, is an empath. Oh, and yeah. So she came to me the other day, and she had this experience, and she didn't understand why she was feeling this way towards this young man. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was just like, it was really annoying her. Mm. So we were talking about it, and I said, the other thing you might want to consider is that these aren't your feelings. Mm-hmm. You might be feeling his or somebody else's. Mm-hmm. And this is what I shared with her, and maybe this will help you. You can be an empath, but you don't have to be that. And what I mean by that is you don't have to always be taking everybody's stuff on. So mm-hmm. I've been really, really working with her on being mm-hmm. strong within herself, and you can be aware of these feelings, but they aren't your feelings. And so it's like having this second skin layer on you that you still have the gift, but you don't have the wound. Mm-hmm. And so it's possible. It's very possible to really use that gift in a strong capacity. Mm-hmm. So it's not, I guess the reason I say this is I've heard so many people going, well, you know, I'm an empath. And I'm like, no, it should be, I'm an empath and this is my gift.
Yeah.
And rather than being, oh, I'm an empath. So.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And I think that it starts with awareness, right? So if your whole life is spent with these feelings and you're taking on and you don't understand it and why do I feel this way, and you don't have words to describe it, then you're just like, what's wrong with me? I'm having these, you know, I'm going nuts or something. But once you have it, I'm glad you're reading the book because you realize you're not the only one. You realize other strategies other people have taken on to actually use it, but also separate from it. And I think there's a lot more folks that have that gift and realize that they just think they're overly sensitive. They maybe they're labeled schizophrenic or, you know, other kind of diagnoses. When in reality, it's just they're picking up those energies from other folks. And I think my son is that way too. And I wouldn't have the discussion necessarily with him because he's so, you know, but he picks things up and he always has. And I think it's why he had such a difficult time going through puberty because he was picking up all yep. these other feelings yep. and sensations, and he'd even have auditory hallucinations. And he just didn't get why wasn't anybody else seeing the dead armadillo on the street and smelling it as he walked by? And I'm like, maybe it wasn't there. And what's wrong with me? And he would buy all these books about the autobiography of a schizophrenic, and you know, he was trying to self-diagnose because he thought that there was some, you know, psychological diagnosis that was needed. And I think a lot of it was he's just picking up all those feelings, and I think when you learn to use it and also separate, it's not like a wall or anything, but you learn to create that energy bubble around you, right, to protect yourself from picking up those stray energies in ways that are not.
Yeah, into your being.
Yeah.
And the reason I share that with you, Deborah, was, you know, there is this awakening happening, right? And mm-hmm. I wanted you to hopefully find comfort that there are parents who are supporting their children in this understanding. And so this next generation of children coming up can fully be aware of this gift that they have and not have to, like you said, for 60 years, wonder what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah. Yeah. Super.
Well, thank you for being such a good
privilege to be her mother.
Yeah.
It's a blessing.
Yeah, I think so.
That's what this is talking about, how much of a gift this is. We just have to learn the strategies, you know, to not absorb all of it and still be who we fully are. Because our world is not geared towards empathic, sensitive people.
No.
It's not geared for people like us.
It's
geared for the other side of the brain.
Exactly. And like I said, as parents, most parents are like, oh, stop being so sensitive. Why are you so sensitive? And I knew not to do that with my kid. I just embraced that and tried to help support him with it. But most parents are like, yeah. And I know folks who've suddenly come to that realization that, oh my God, it explains my whole life. I'm not a crazy person, right? I just have this gift and I need to learn to create that. I remember when we did the practitioner retreat and Jane gave us those techniques. We were out on the beach and we all created that. How do you create that bubble that allows you to help people and bring in and support them in the energy without it, you know, penetrating your own barrier and how you feel sick? And I remember the first time I ever noticed that when I was working on someone. You know, I'm just on people's bodies. And I had this happen before, but it never occurred to me what it was. And when I realized what it was like an aha. And I'm working on someone, and suddenly I just had this, like, just horrendous pain in my neck. Like, a sharp, I'm like, what's wrong with my neck? I'm working on somebody else. And I immediately went to that place on that person's neck, and I felt into it. And it was like, this isn't mine. This isn't mine. And I went in and I manipulated and adjusted her neck and my pain went away. So we can pick that energy up and use it, especially if it's someone close to you, right? And you can walk in the room and suddenly you have a heartache, right? You can tune in like, oh, something's going on with them. How can I support them right now? Yeah. Good for you. Good. Well, will we see you this weekend?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Good.
I'll be there.
Great. We'll see you then.
Okay.
All right. Is the weather hopefully going to get warm before I get there?
It's pretty warm compared to what it was a few weeks ago.
It was horrible. Oh, man. It was horrible. Even you were cold. No, I'm like, 17 degrees? This is insane. It's crazy. Thank you. All right, Laura, last question, and then I've got to go. I've got to head to Palm Springs tomorrow and teach a 2-hour class at a country club, so I've got to get myself ready.
Okay, I'll choose then the vitamin C question. Once you said that it takes 6 hours about for liposomal vitamin C to get out of the system.
Any vitamin C.
Okay.
It's about a 6-hour life before it's gone. And
okay. So what if I, because I am supposedly, my plan is to take three vitamin C, three different pills of vitamin C. But I don't see the 6 hours in between. What happens if it's less?
Oh, that's
like
okay.
If I take the vitamin C
it's
4 hours. Or...
Well, if it's more, it's a problem. Because you're going to be, if you're trying to keep your levels up and you go 7 hours, then you're going to have that hour where it's gone. So closer together is fine. It's further apart, that's not.
What's the problem with taking iodine?
Vitamin C interferes with the absorption of the iodine. So there's, and they just clash with each other. So you don't want to take them together, but you do want to take them in the same day, but right. So when you're taking, like when you're doing an iodine flush or load, it's a good thing to do vitamin C, but you want to do it at a separate time of day. And there's certain, and I don't remember all the different interactions with all the nutrients. I wish that somebody would make a table that was just every single one with every single interaction. I keep saying we should do that in our program, but because you know, there are interactions, and we can't be paranoid and like drive ourselves crazy and say, "Oops, I got to have 3 minutes between this and this, and 14 hours between this and this." We'd go nuts, right? And food contains everything in a little package, so. Ideally, but if you are taking larger doses of supplements, there are certain ones that you shouldn't take together in large amounts. And C and iodine are the ones.
Okay. Well, yeah, there's several of us, I think, that are supplementing with iodine right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
good now. So also vitamin C flushes out if there's too much for the body. So if...
Yeah. And that's more of like the non-liposomal. Liposomal tends to get into the cells really quickly versus the other, the regular, like the powdered or capsules or whatever, will get into the system and then it gets flushed out if it's over the amount. So, you just don't want to, like, if you need 10 grams of vitamin C a day, you don't want to take all 10 together. Because you're just going to absorb as much as you can, and then the rest will be flushed away.
Yeah.
Separating it out into doses.
Yeah.
But you don't have to worry about, like you were asking on the You were asking on the Facebook group about meals and this and that, and I don't even worry about it with vitamin C. I just take vitamin C.
Yeah, I have to remember the country. So that's good news.
Yeah.
It's life easier.
Yeah, we don't want to make it so difficult to get all our nutrients in that we pick up and can't do it, right? You want to just work with it. Just make it easy on yourself, because the more you worry and stress about doing it exactly right, the more you're draining out some of those nutrients that are stress response nutrients.
So. Yeah. Just a last thing. Creatinine, I noticed on the metal test, the creatinine is getting lower.
It's insignificant. It doesn't matter. You only look at that when there's significant differences, and it has to do with how dilute the urine is. So if it's significantly below a threshold, then it means that you might have been uber hydrated and the urine was too dilute to really be able to tell. But you guys are fine. Okay. Those minor variations don't mean anything.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good time tomorrow and a good night.
Thank you. I'm going to get a good night's sleep again tonight and go and just do a good presentation, I guess, and then come home. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Bye. And thanks to Drina for her good input. I don't know if everybody read it, but she talked about, the castor oil packs and the dry skin brushing and all that related to the detox. And those are all just really super important pieces. And Four Sigmatic has a sleep stick pack that combines anxiolytic compounds, gentle sedatives. Huh. I haven't looked at that. I've done the Four Sigmatic on some of their mushroom buns, and they're pretty good. They are expensive, but convenient. So. All right. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Bye.